You check Cinnamon and Calamus, you find talk about the power of His Word, power of His blood, and different things that are mentioned all related to Jesus. And all flow in an anointing, there are four different things that are mentioned about the Holy Spirit in chapter 12. Chapter 4 verse 12, I mean. It says, He is a spring, a fountain, then verse 15, a well of living water, and streams. All these are pictures of the Holy Spirit flowing out. Picture of the Holy Spirit's ministry flowing through our lives. By the third stage of the relationship with the Lord, the believer or the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, has matured until they have come into a ministerial anointing. Look at the climax in chapter 4 verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south, blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. In other words, it's asking the Holy Spirit to flow out. Now is the power of the Holy Spirit coming forth like the wind. The authority and the power of the Holy Spirit coming in at this third stage. Because chapter 4 verse 16, you notice that we are the garden, we learn the other factor, yielding and submission comes in. Yielding and submission. And you will notice that from verse 12 to verse 16 of chapter 4, it is now Jesus partaking of us. Do you notice a change in relationship in the first section, chapter 1? It begins with we coming to know the Lord, and we enjoying the Lord. He is like our apple tree, and we ask Him to sustain us with cakes of raisin and with apples because we love Him. And at the second stage, we learn our fellowship with Him, the importance. We learn the importance to hear His voice, His word. Now at the third stage, He is the one who enjoys us. Many of us think about, oh, how I would enjoy going to fellowship with the Lord. How I would enjoy going into a church that really worships God and worship God. I enjoy it. Have you ever think about the Lord enjoying us? The Lord now enjoys us. He now looks forward to being to us coming to Him. It's a different stage of relationship now. The Lord really begins to bestow His blessings of love upon us in response to our love for Him. And section 4 begins in chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 2 is section 4. It says here, it's a totally different stage again. I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is a voice of my beloved. He knocks saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is covered with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. In verse 4, my beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearned for him. I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone. My heart went out to him when he spoke. I sought him, but could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen who went about the city found me. They struck me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took my veil away from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, you find my beloved, that you tell him, I am lovesick. Now, there are two things that the believer or the church begins to learn at the fourth stage of their love relationship. The fourth stage, you notice here, the word myrrh is used quite often, dew and myrrh. In verse 5, the beloved says, my hands drip with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh. Myrrh is always a symbol of suffering. Suffering. At the fourth stage, we learn the sufferings of the Lord. We learn what it is when Jesus said that if they hated me, they will also hate you. If they persecute the master, they will also persecute his follower. Oh, it was glorious at the third stage, the authority of God, the power of the Spirit. Now we learn that we also have to partake of the fellowship of his sufferings. And many shudder to think about that. To think that we have to bear shame for his sake. That's not easy to take. And right at that time, it feels like he has forsaken us, like this beloved says. I look for him and he's not there. It sounds like the cross. When Jesus cried, hanging on the cross, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a cry when it looks like God turned away for a moment. When we partake of the cross, remember this. Before God allows you to grow to the stage 4 of relationship, He knows that you're strong enough. And He said, my child, I want you to go this. I will be with you, but you cannot see me. I want you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I want you to be willing to do so. And you're saying, Lord, I'm willing. And he started walking. Suddenly for a moment, you couldn't see him. It's too dark. You cry out, where are you, Lord? And for a moment, he doesn't answer. Because part of the suffering is he must not answer. Because it's the experience of the cross. You know Jesus as the healer. You know Jesus as your Lord. You know Jesus as your provider. You must know Jesus as a man of sorrows. Because you must sorrow and bear the burdens and sufferings for others. I want you to notice an interesting thing that Paul said in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Paul said in verse 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, Paul is saying something here. He's not talking about the atonement suffering. Nobody can complete the atonement suffering because Jesus has completed everything. When he said it is finished, there's nothing more we can add. Nothing more that can be done. You cannot improve on what Jesus has done. It's complete. But Paul is talking about filling up the afflictions that were lacking in affliction of Christ. He's not talking about atonement suffering. He's talking about the sufferings that he has to take in order for others to come to know this Jesus. Just as Jesus suffered to win Paul, and you and I, we suffer in order to win others with the love of Jesus to God. That is the suffering he's talking about. And we need to bear the cross. He bore the cross for us. We bear the cross that others may come to know him. That's the fourth stage of relationship. Not an easy stage. But then as you go to the fourth stage, you begin to understand this in verse 10 to 16 of chapter 5, Song of Solomon's. See, chapter 4 takes us from chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5 verse 2, right up to chapter 8 verse 4. The whole section is under section 4. Repeat again, chapter 5 verse 2, right on to chapter 8 verse 4 is the fourth section. And something happens in verse 10 to 16. And that is, she begins to understand and see the beloved for who he is. She describes him, "My beloved is white and ruddy, chief among 10,000. His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as a raven." A raven represents Jehovah Jireh. He supplies our needs, just as the raven supply Elijah's needs. A dove represents, of course, the Holy Spirit. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like a bed of spices, like banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies dripping liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His body is carved ivory, etc., etc. And all this lovely description of him, something has taken place. She now begins to extol the bridegroom, praise and worship. It's only after we have tasted the cross that we can learn praise and worship. I believe it was Terry Law who wrote a book on praise and worship. And he talked about how he learned to worship, and he had a band worshipping and leading in worship. Then for certain reasons and certain things happened that his wife died, and circumstances crashed, and everything was now, and he felt very bitter against God. Now I'm sure that there possibly are causes, because the curse causes will not come, but we don't understand all things, and there are some areas possibly that he may know that he doesn't reveal. But whatever it is, he felt bitter at God. And as he knelt down, he couldn't pray, couldn't read the Bible, couldn't do anything. Until one day God dealt in his life as he was kneeling down in prayer. God says, "Do you still love me?" It's almost like Madame Guyon. So all those things happened in her life. You read about her, how she nearly died, her beloved died, everything died around her. Like the Lord asking, "Do you love me?" And he struggled. And finally he says, "Yet will I love you." Now I want to repeat again, the curse causeless does not come. Things like Job, we realize when we study the life of Job, there is a cause, there is an effect. Although we don't understand all things, we do know that God doesn't send sickness, God doesn't send evil, and God doesn't send things to destroy us. But because of our human imperfection, there could be doors open that we do not know. But yet, in those circumstances, he struggled in his love for God. Until finally, he broke down and he said, "I love you, Lord." And he started worshipping. And for the first time in his life, he entered into a praise and worship has never entered. And that resulted in that book today by Terry Law, quite a reasonably thick book on praise and worship, and where he dramatized his experience. So there we have, praise and worship comes at that fourth stage. When we have tasted the power of his resurrection, when we tasted the fellowship of his sufferings. Now when you talk about fellowship, it's suffering. It's not suffering sickness or disease, but it's suffering the cross of Jesus Christ, partaking of that, and bearing the cross that others may love him and come to know him. But in chapter 6 verse 3, this is where the discovery is. She says now, "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feeds his flock among the lilies." How different it is from chapter 2, verse 16, where it says, "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies." Do you notice a change in relationship? At first it was, my beloved is mine, and I am his banner over me is love.